We will continue our study into the book of Romans today, this being our 12th lesson. And we have progressed up to chapter 8. And before we go any further, I want to kind of set the stage a little bit for chapter 8. And somewhat of a follow-up over what we have done over the last seven chapters. Most of you know that over the last many years, particularly a period of time in there for 15 years, that I started a trek through a couple hundred of America's prisons. From California, San Quentin, to Florida State Penitentiary in Florida, sharing the gospel of Christ. And it was a long period of time, 15 years of doing that in some of the hell holes of America where the stench was great. Occasions when they were even throwing feces at us that were sharing the gospel. One of my friends told me, he said, Redmond, he said, you've spent so much time in prison as an innocent man, you've built up a credit and now you're entitled to free crime. And so I want to share one particular story with regard to that experience that I had in America's prisons with a man named Lefty Dog. And we were in one of these prisons, and the program was over, and it was a very violent place. And there was a sea of all of these inmates moving from the program area back into the cell area. And I'm caught up in that mass of rather violent individuals. And one of them said, I want to talk to one of those blankety blank 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 crusaders. And that's behind me. I want to talk to one of those blankety blank blank crusaders. So I turned around, being pushed along like this, said, well, hey, man, I'll talk to you. Come on up here. So he came up, and he said, blankety, blank, blank, you guys, you're coming down here, you're getting paid by the state to talk to us, and you're a bunch of religious jackasses. And he went on and on and on, and I just kept walking with him. Pretty soon we come to a stairway. I walk up row after row of cell blocks, finally get up to about the fifth layer of cell blocks, walking along a narrow walk, a railing here, five stories down where they throw guys off. And I come to a cell where he's at, his cell, and I walk into his cell with him and sat down on a bed. And he sat down on a little stool, and he's continuing to cuss me out and talk and cuss about how we're getting paid by the state and we're a bunch of do-gooders. And 2 hours I sat there. And find out that his name is Lefty Dog. And I said, well, what's your name? He said, well, my name's Lefty Dog. So my name is Lefty Dog. I said, well, why do you have the name Lefty Dog? Well, because I'm just a left out dog in society. I'm just left out. I have nothing. I have had nothing. I come from the ghettos. His condition was one of anger. He had pimples. He was skinny as a rail. He was sick. He was coughing. He was dirty. He smelled. He needed a shave. He was a horrible type of individual. And he would not let me have a word for 2 hours. Finally, became my turn. And it's the stuff that we've been studying for the last couple of months. What is that? What do you say to an individual like that? You have nothing to say. And so I start where we started in Romans, chapter 1, verse 16. I'm here because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power unto salvation. And I go on, verse after verse, the just must live by faith. The wrath of God is against those who are unbelievers. Chapter 1, verse 22, those who profess themselves wise by non-belief are fools. Chapter 4, verse 7, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we can have peace through faith in Jesus Christ and rejoice in hope for the future. Verses 6 and 9, Christ died for the ungodly and commanded his love towards us even though we are sinners. Verse 21, sin hath reigned unto death, but God's grace will reign unto eternal life to them that believe. Chapter 3, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death. Other verses, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Finally ending where we ended last week, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And Lefty, who will deliver you from the body of this death? 2 hours later, now it's 10 o'clock at night. Nobody knows I'm in that cell. And I see a tear starting down Lefty Dog's face. And you see, it was not me what it was. It was what we've been looking. It's been what we've been studying at. It's this. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick, powerful, sharp, sharper than a sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There Lefty Dog became a Christian. The old man passed away. He was now a new man in Christ. About that time, a guard came walking along. And he looked in the cell and he could not believe his eyes. He said, what are you doing here? By the time I'd been in there 4 hours. And I said, we're just reading a book my father wrote. And the guards, he left and he came back with two guards. And he opened the door and he let me out. And he said, man, he said, you are lucky to be alive. I felt no fear, actually, the whole time. But he said, you are lucky to be alive. You don't know the inmate. So that was on a Friday night. And later that day, or later that weekend on Sunday, as we were departing the prison, someone said, hey, you, Lefty Dog's looking for you. Lefty's looking for you. And so finally Lefty caught up with me just before I got out the front door. And he said, I want you to know my name is not Lefty Dog. It's Elijah Webster. Well, 3 years passed, and at that time, we were trying to do some states, we were trying to do all the prisons in every state at least every 3 years. And since my friend JT and I were in charge of all the prisons, every time we would go to a state, I would have the opportunity to go to more than one prison. Lots of times I go to 5 or 6 prisons because we were taking care of the program and the transportation and the special guests and all that. So 3 years later, I'm back in the same prison, and there's Elijah. I couldn't believe it. He was cleaned up. His countenance had totally changed. He had a whole new disposition. He had a new attitude. In the last 3 years, he had acquired his GED degree of high school. He was, in fact, a new man in Christ. He was reading the Bible hours per day because he didn't have anything else to do. And so I had an occasion then again to talk to Elijah, and I began to explain to him right division of the Scripture and how to understand the Scripture and how to study, and bid him a goodbye once again. 3 years pass. I'm back again into the same state. In the meantime, Elijah had been transferred to another prison. And I go in, and there he is. There's Elijah. White pants, white starched shirt, collar with a gold pin that says, "Try God." He is, at that point, the chaplain's assistant. He is having Bible studies on each cell block. There are 6. He's having a Bible study in every cell block 6 nights a week. He is now, what is he doing? Open your Bibles back up to Romans. Romans chapter 5, we've passed this a couple weeks ago, last week, I guess. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. You probably remember. "For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life." Elijah is now reigning in life. He is the new man, thriving. The old man had passed away and had died. He has been justified by the death and resurrection of Christ, made righteous in the Lord's sight because of belief now in him, sanctified, acquitted before him in the court of God. And of course, we remember we compared that verse then to the other verse below, which talks about reigning in eternal life. But here he's reigning in life. So many people today, so many Christians today are not really reigning in life. So here's what can happen as a result of Romans. It's quick and it's powerful. And if you have someone to talk to about the Lord, you need to be talking to him with regard to what we've been understanding here in the book of Romans. Elijah was given, of course, eventually a nice surprise, a Christmas gift by the state. Freedom? Nope. His appeals had run out. He was condemned to the gallows, hung by the neck, till dead. He was then being justified by the laws of the state by being put to death. But he had in advance, and that was right at Christmas time, that he got a letter telling him that his appeals had run out. But he had prior received the greatest Christmas gift to those that believe, and that was the new man in Christ Jesus that he became in the 6 years that he had before he went to the gallows. So that sets the stage, I hope, for chapter 8. Chapter 8, we find that there is no condemnation for the new man, not for Elijah or for you or me. The chapter breaks down like this. Verses 1 to 4, there is no condemnation for those in Christ, and it gives the reason why. Verses 5 then to 15, the new nature is leading us. Verses 16 to 27, by the Holy Spirit's work in us, that's what's leading us. And then verses 28 to 39, there's no separation from Christ, and the reason for that. So let's look first at part 1, verses 1 to 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Here is the greatest Christmas gift one could have. And we're coming, of course, upon that Christmas season. We are set free from the claims of the law and the punishment of death because of that baby Jesus that came in the likeness of sinful flesh in our behalf. The results, or the reason the law of the Spirit or the new nature fulfills the righteousness requirements of the old law, Christ Jesus came in the flesh. So there's no condemnation to those that believe. The second part, beginning with verse 5, for they are after the flesh, do mind things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, that ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see, the carnal mind is death. And I don't care whether you're a prisoner in the filthiest hellhole in America or whether you belong in a country club in the finest places in the world. The carnal mind is death, and the spiritual mind is life. The flesh cannot please God, but in His sight we are no longer fleshly to those that believe. And why is that? I don't know the basis, but the flesh cannot please God because of something that happened back that you do not have any control of. You're justified. All men are justified, but not all men are saved. And the reason all men are justified is because there's something in the flesh that you can't do anything about. We read last week, that I would do, I cannot do. I do that which I don't want to do. I swear up and down I'm not going to do it, and I do it anyway. You know, I don't care whether it's kicking a cat or what. That's just not, I can't help it. That's what I do. The flesh cannot please God, but in His sight we are no longer fleshly. If we are not in belief, we are not His, but we are. But if we are, we are raised from the dead, even though our bodies are mortal. If you are of the old nature, you cannot please God. We are not all God's children. People say, oh, we're all God's children. No. Scripture says, to those who believe, gave He the power to become sons of God. Otherwise, you're a dead man. Part 3, 16, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectations of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Without your belief in Christ, you're just helpless. You can't reign in this life, and when death comes, you're a dead man forever. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is so important. The Holy Spirit is a witness to our standing before Him. I cannot know the standing of Elijah Webster for sure. I think I know. But God only knows. God looks at the heart of Elijah Webster. I think, based on his actions and his reigning in life after he became a Christian, that I know what his standing is. And I also, and remember, the standing, your standing before him is where Christ stood for you. Your state before him, there's a difference between your state and your standing before him. And to keep them straight, I keep reminding you, your standing before him is where he stood for you. Your state before him is where you reign. Some of us reign more poorly than others. Some of us reign better than others. Strange thing is, creation is waiting to share the coming glory and manifestation of Christ's victory over evil. What is that? The creation. Do you remember this lesson that we haven't done for a long time, probably need to do again? The world that then was. The rent that was brought about in God's creation as a result of sin. The fall of the angels. There's something bigger going on there than what most of us realize. So the creation, the heavenly beings, we as men and women suffering in this life groan for waiting for this rent to be repaired. Creation is sharing our troubles and groaning, waiting for the resurrection. The Holy Spirit is helping our infirmities and our state before him as we await the Epiphania, or the second coming of Christ. Part number four, beginning with verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. And you know what? Don't be trying to pick out yourself in that situation. The point is, he died and he was, and everything was predestined for everyone, justification for all men that would believe. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his Son, but delivered him up for all, for us all, and shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth for all men. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. By the way, there's 17 things there. If you go back and count them all that we just read, and 17 in Scripture is a very interesting number. Sometime we may take a look at just those 17 things and what the number 17 actually amounts to in Scripture. So, I sometimes hate to even comment on these verses. I don't want to mess them up. I don't want to. You can't add to it. You can't. You know. It's. Just take it like it is, will you? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. So our standing before Him is secure. Our state before Him is what? Augmented. I can't clean up my, I can't reign in my life without this Holy Spirit helping me. My standing before Him is perfect because of what Christ has done, where He stood for me. But my state is only helped by the Holy Spirit in this life. And it's all a result of love towards man, and there's nothing that anything or anyone can do to separate you from this love of Christ. I think this is a wonderful gift that we're looking forward to, again, to celebrate in this Christmas season that's coming. I may take a little detour and maybe do a lesson on just Christmas. We may step out of Romans for maybe 1 week later on. What a wonderful gift we have in Christ and His birth. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took on the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He Himself became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. That baby Jesus that we're getting ready to celebrate was all God, all man. And as a result, we have the most wonderful gift to look forward to as we start the Christmas season. No condemnation, as this chapter says, to them that believe. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You so much for this written word, for the direction that it can give us, for the direction that it can give the lost. We thank You for it. We thank You for the opportunity to come and study together, that we can understand those things that You have taught us in this book. Pray that we continue to have open hearts and minds, that we may continue to be rooted and grounded in Your love and to one another. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.